I'm so thankful for the fine way the devotional part of our service was carried out. I can tell Brother Simley that things went well regarding the devotional and up to where I am right now. And we just appreciate seeing you. We are so thankful for everything. And we give God the praise. We give him the honor and the glory. And we are thankful for those who have surrendered to the Lord. And we had another baptism on Friday. Man, and then we already had my sister and my nephew, and then we had one on Friday, and you know, we're just looking out there, we're looking for more. We're trying to bring people into the body of Christ, the church, and we're trying to help people to go to heaven so that heaven will be our eternal home. We'll be in a city that have foundations whose builder and maker is God. City where there will be no more sin, and there will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. Won't it be wonderful there? Amen. It'll be wonderful over there. And I've just been running through my mind, you know, how to kind of uplift us today, and just to help us to recognize the importance of doing the will of God. And I thought I would work out or do my lesson from the book of Numbers. And most of us are familiar with the Bible, and I've got a whole lot of help over here. Brother Bland, he'll read if I need. Amen. And I've got all kinds of help, and I always have Brother Chris Parker. When we had Bible studies in the back there, he always helps me, and I just appreciate all of the brothers and sisters that we have here who have made up their mind they want to go to heaven. They're doing all that they can in order to advance the cause of Christ, and so I just appreciate you. I'm not going to spend any time doing the accolade, or whatever you say it, accolades or whatever. And what I'm going to do is look at what we're going to talk about today. But I just want you all to know how much you are appreciated. Amen. Now, in Numbers, we have here, before I read anything, I just want to kind of give you a review of what's going on here. We all, those of us who study and those who don't study, we're going to help you to study. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, and tells us to rightly, underline that, rightly divide the word of truth. Tells to divide it correctly. And we know that there are three major ages, and there are a lot of periods in between. And the three major ages are the patriarchal age, number one, the Mosaical period, which Well, we remember that Moses received what we call the law. That's the second age. And the third age is the age in which we presently live, called the Christian age. And sometimes we can compare the difficulties that they went through in the other ages and look at them and help us in our age to not go through all of those problems that they went through. Try to avoid some of their mistakes. We can look back and see them. My Bible says whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn something. Don't be so stubborn that you can't learn anything. They're written for our learning, that we through comfort, patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God's trying to give us some hope. Now I'm going to be talking about strength for the wilderness. Strength for the wilderness. And I'm taking this from Numbers chapter number 21. And throughout that Numbers, we find wilderness experiences of the Israelites who were God's people under the Mosaic period of Bible history, the second age, which lasted about how long? Brother Simmons not the only one that had, but I'm not one. I'm not going to do that today because I don't have time. That's right. But I have them. I'm going to have them for some time to give you some rewards for right answers. But they were written for our learning. That period lasted for about 1,500 years. The first period lasted about 2,500 years. We are in the third period, the Christian age, and we can learn something that we can, that will be profitable to us and that will help us to live victoriously in the age in which we presently live. Amen. Now, we read about the wilderness experiences of the Israel, God's new Old Testament people. We read about it. And we read quite a bit here in Numbers chapter number 20 and 21. And we can see they had some difficulties. Aaron, one of God's priests, he died. And God told him, because I told you to do this and you did something else, that's right. You're going to see the promised land, but you're not going in. You're not going into Canaan. That's a physical place. And so Canaan was like what we are in now. We're kind of like, we're in the church. If you're in the church, the next step for us, if we do what God says, comply with his will, we'll go to heaven. That's like Canaan to them. Back under that age, to be in the wilderness, the next step would have been Canaan land. That's right. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. And the people, God's people, loved Aaron. But we read in Numbers chapter number 20, Moses stripped Aaron of his garments as God directed and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses came down from the mount, and when all the congregation, and that's in chapter number 20, in verse number 28, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for him, and they mourned for him for 30 days. On one occasion, they were trying to do what God told them to do, head toward the promised land. The children of Israel said unto him, this is verse 19 in the 20th chapter, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, they were telling Edom. They were telling him. But Edom, who he was very familiar with the Israelites, he refused to give Israel passage through his border. You are not coming through my land. In other words, we're going to be there. We're going to give you some trouble. You're not coming through there. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, we're starting to see right there difficulties. Amen. And then further in verse 21, when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt, they wanted to go through his land, dwelt in the south, heard tell. That's what the Bible says in verse chapter 21 and verse number 1. That Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And he wouldn't let them pass through his land as well without going through some difficulty, some fist fights and whatever way they fought. I don't think they fought with no fists, but he was going to resist them. So I'm saying the wilderness was, and that goes to show us, I said the church today, we're like in that period in our age, in the church we're going through what we must go through in order to go to heaven. And sometimes it is very, very difficult. And we're going to find out what some of the difficulties are. Because we see it played out in the Bible. The Bible says they journeyed from Mount Hor. And this is verse number 4 of Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people, of God's people, Israel, they were discouraged. And not only were they discouraged, but they were much, as the Bible says, discouraged because of the way. The way was difficult. And which tells us that we're going to have some difficulties. That's right. We're going to have some problems trying to make it heaven. And we've got to get some strength somehow to help us to make it through. Amen. Amen. To go through what we have to go through in order to get to heaven. All right. The Bible says they were discouraged because of the way, and the people, there's another problem right here. They spoke against their leader. their leaders. First, and this is verse 5, they spake against God. Can you imagine the God who is the creator of us all, who's in charge of the whole universe? They spake against him. And not only did they speak against him, but the leader that God had picked, Moses. They spake against Moses. Here's what they said. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth, and we are tired. I'm just bringing it down to everyday English right now. Say, we are tired of this light bread that you've given us. Don't you see that? They spoke against Moses. And what they are doing is what we call murmuring. And God really detests when his people murmur against him, his leaders, his people, just murmuring in general. And some of us, we just not happy, and we are given to murmuring, and we call that we call that whining. You ever had, like children, like, you know, like little children whine when you carry them to McDonald's somewhere, and you are trying to make them comfortable and happy, and you say, all of you can have, we're going to give you all a hamburger, and we're going to give you a drink, and we're going to give you a small dessert. And somebody, I don't want that. You see what I'm saying? They start what you call whining. And you know, God despises that too. He doesn't want us to whine because we have it good sometimes and we just don't realize how good we have it. If you have a shelter, a roof over your head, and if you have a foundation under your feet and walls around you, you have something to eat and to drink, it seemed like we'd be happy, but we say, I don't want that, and I don't like that, and then some of them stomp, don't they? That's right, and you know what they need. They need what I used to get. That's right, and but they need something. They need some discipline, and I say discipline, whether it's time out, or whatever you all do. We don't. My mother and father did not know anything about time out. But I never, they didn't tell me time out. But they let you have it. Amen. And I have this, I'm going to drop this on you. I'm looking at it, but I have this on here. Oh God. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Today upon a bus, this article says, I saw a girl with lovely hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay. And I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she arose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch. But as she passed, she smiled. Isn't that something? She still was, she's okay. Oh God, this article says, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. I stopped to buy some candy. The lad who sold it had such a charm. I talked with him. He seemed so glad. If I were late, it'll do no harm. As I left, he said to me, I thank you. You've been so kind. It's nice to talk with folks like you. You see, I am blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. Some of us, we're whining. I have two eyes. The world is mine. Later on, while walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes so true. He stood and watched the others play. He did not know what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. He couldn't hear. Oh, God, do what? Forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I'd know. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I've been blessed. Amen. Indeed. Amen. The world is mine. And we have to get out of that. Here in our text, the people were whining. They spake against Moses and against God and Moses. And they say, "You brought us here in the wilderness out of Egypt to die in the wilderness." They said, "We don't have any bread." And the way was hot. If you've been in that area, sometimes it's so hot that they have in some places. When I was in Africa near Rabat and Casablanca, when I was in the service, it was so hot over there, they had breaks in time where you didn't work. It was so hot. And you could see heat rising up from the sands and whatever. It was sandy and rough. There was little water. But God had promised. He said, "I'm going to guide you," and I would read that, but, you know, I had to go. "And I'll guide you, and I will provide." God will provide. Abraham found that out when he was looking to sacrifice his son. He said, "Where? Where's the sacrifice?" That's what Isaac, his son, said. And you know what he said? He said to his son, "God will provide," just like I'm saying to you. God will provide. And his name is, when he provides, is Jehovah Jireh. Means provision, I'll provide. And God had promised them that he would not leave them and he would not forsake them. What was the root? Or what is the root of our problem and the Israelites' problem? Because really, we have the same problem. That's right. We have the same problem. Well, let's look at the three problems. And when I get those finished, and I can talk about some other stuff. But three problems. They had a threefold problem. They didn't trust the provider, the person who provides for every need of human beings, the birds, the bees, everything. We see that in verse number 5 in Numbers, Numbers, the 21st chapter. They didn't trust God. They said, "You brought us here to die." Now, did God really bring them there to die? Do you see what I'm saying? God so loves us. that we don't even understand it. He so loves the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Number one, they didn't trust the provider, and I'm going to give you another problem. They didn't trust the provisions. Sometimes we think the provisions are going to run out, that God's going to run, he's going to go bankrupt, and he's not going to be able to take care of us. Amen. But he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But they thought they were going to run out of provisions. Amen. And the third one is that they didn't trust God's promise. But when God makes a promise, he cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. That's what the Bible teaches. And I am 91, going on 92. Amen. Amen. And he has never, ever, amen, failed me. Amen. Now, I did my little stuff and almost messed myself up. But God has never messed me up. Amen. Amen. If there's any messing up, it's me. All right, let's see that. They had those three problems. In their impatience on the way, they spoke against God. My Bible says, James said in James chapter 1, verse 17, that God is a provider. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. That's what the Bible says there. Read that when you have time. Put that down, James 1 and 17. God will provide. I was going to give one of these cards to someone who could answer this question, one of the children or something. I was going to ask the children, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. But what is the one thing that God has never seen? It's in the Bible. One thing that he has never seen. Now, if you answer that real quick, I have a... Huh? That's right. You're going to get it, sister. That's right. You're going to get it. That's what I mean is this card. But I was talking to your younger children, but some people. That's what I have never seen. That's what God said in Psalms chapter number 37 and verse number 25. He said, "I've never seen," and that's God, the righteous, a person who does right and who is righteous, forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. He said, "I haven't seen that." Isn't that something? And God goes from everlasting to everlasting. But he's never seen that. But he's seen a lot of stuff. That's right. All right. All right, so they didn't trust the provider, and that's God. And I'm going to move to the next one. And we have a lot, because a lot of that we can do in our after study. They didn't trust in the provisions that he provided, that they were adequate. As God transported them through the wilderness, it reminds me of the children or of children going to King's Dominion or someplace, thinking somebody is going to starve them to death, their parents. Can you believe that? That's right. You ever go down to King's Dominion and you have kids with you, and some of them think you're going to starve them to death just because you pass a few McDonald's and you pass a few Burger Kings and other places, and they say, "Oh, you're starving us to death." But their parents is not trying to starve them, and neither is God trying to starve us to death. God will provide. You'll get something to eat. Jesus spoke of God as a provider in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 26. But they didn't trust that God was not trying to starve them. And so they were murmuring and complaining. And do you know that murmuring, if I start murmuring, I get among the brothers and I start murmuring and complaining, after a while, a non-complaining brother will start complaining too, because it's catching. That's one bad thing about it. Others will start doing the same thing. It's like the measles. That's right. Somebody else will catch it or catch what you have. And then another thing they don't trust his promises. Now, God today has promised salvation to everybody who will obey the gospel of Christ. And after they obey, now what, I'm going to tell you what that means. Obey the gospel and then live within the framework of the gospel faithfully unto death. To obey the gospel means to obey God's word. And that means that when we hear what God wants, when it's preached to us, amen. He said, "I'm not willing that any should perish." But he wants us all not only to repent, he wants us to hear his gospel. The gospel is the message of God. The facts of the gospel are, and I think people know that, the facts of the gospel are that Jesus died. Now, that's not the whole gospel, but that's Jesus died. Number two, he was what? Buried. And number three, that he rose again the third day. Amen. That's the facts. And they are facts. We have it in the Bible as facts. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren," Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." That's fact number one. "And that he was buried." That's fact number two. And fact number three, "and that he rose again the third day." Amen. Now, just believing that does not make you a saved person, because God's gospel has commands. You remember on Pentecost, the first Pentecost, following the resurrection of Jesus, when Peter was preaching, he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, their hearts were pricked. They said, we have killed the Lord of glory. And they cried out, here it is, men and brethren, what shall we do? There's something we must do. The religious world says all you have to do is believe. But my Bible, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29, is given unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe. Look in your Bible, Philippians 1 and 29. I think it's 1 and 29 or 1 and 27. Brother, I might have you to read that. And I'm sorry, but I'm trying to move on. Go ahead. But take your time and get it. But hurry up.
Philippians 1 and verse number
29. 29, yeah.
For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him.
Not only to believe. They say also, believe only.
But also,
he said, it's given unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also what?
To suffer for his sake.
To suffer for his sake. Yeah, it is. Faith without works, again, the Bible says, is dead. Being alone. You can't isolate faith from doing what God has instructed you, me, and us, all of us, to do. And so the religious world has to grapple with this. But the promises of God, he's going to save them who do his will. Hebrews 5:89, though he were a son, Jesus were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to who? To those who obey him, which includes hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting, confessing our faith in Jesus as being the Son of God, and being baptized into the body of Christ, being baptized into a person, one person, nobody else but Jesus. That's why it says being baptized into Christ, one person, as one Savior who is able to save and to destroy. But we've got to be in him. Think about it, being in a person. Being in a person. Sometimes a doctor might look at you when you come in and you sniffling and snorting, coughing and everything, and you're trying to find out what's wrong with you. He says, you have according to what I'm gathering and my diagnosing, you have a virus in you. You might say, well, how in the world did that virus get in me? Well, I might not know how it got in you, but it's in you. But I do know how you get into Christ, into that one person. That's right. The Bible tells us about being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter number 3. Let's look in that. I think that's where it is. Galatians. These Bible scholars in here, they know where it is. Here it is. For you, this is verse 26, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to the next verse. For as many of you as have been baptized, notice where? Into Christ, into Jesus. that one person. Salvation is in a person. And it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are baptized into him. And then he says, when you are baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Amen. And this is a universal promise. Because he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Male or female, you are all one in Christ. In Christ. How did we do this? We were baptized. When we baptize folk, we inform them that they are baptized into Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't it good to know the Bible? That's right. I'm cutting short now because I am going to close right now. It's 11:58. Amen. And I'm going to stop. Strength. Strength for the wilderness. Strength for the life ahead of us. We need it. Amen. If we want to go to heaven, how do we do it? We hear God. We believe God. We repent of our sin. Repent means have a change of heart. And I have a lot of other stuff here, but I'm just, that'll go when we have the after class. We repent. Nobody makes us. We can't force anybody. But you can certainly tell them in love and cause them to have a change of heart, to confess their faith in Jesus. If you believe that there's a Jesus, and that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, all you have to say in your confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's right. And then you are a subject to be baptized, and your baptism will be for the remission of sins that you have committed. Amen. All of them, God in his promise has promised to remove it all and to treat you as though you never sinned. You can't beat that with a stick. Amen. You can't beat it. That's what God would do. That's why he told Saul of Tarsus, arise. That's why Ananias told him, arise and be baptized. He said, and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Is there somebody here who is bold enough to, in the face of a frowning and a criticizing world, a doubting world, were willing to come forward and to be baptized for the remission of your sins? If you are here, we're going to sing. Somebody, that brother needs to get here. Yeah, that's right, that's right. That's right. Sing that invitation song of encouragement and come to Jesus, and we'll take care of that. If you come, we'll take your confession and we will see to it that you are baptized into Christ today and leave here as a child of God. All right. Oh.